Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Those investors who are hanging on to the hopes of an imminent Powell pivot back to zero interest rates and QE received some disappointing news from last Friday's payroll report. During the month of December, 223,000 net new jobs were created, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.5% from 3.6%. That 3.5% unemployment rate ties the record low of data going back 50 years. It turns out that 2022, last year, was the second best year of job growth in history. However, December's job gains were still the lowest in the past 2 years. Most importantly, the number that few people talk about, but is probably the most important, is aggregate hours worked. This index measures the quality of employment, either part-time or full. It shows total hours worked actually shrank. That's right, shrank last month. And it was the second such decline in a row. Meaning the number of productive hours in the economy is shrinking despite the increase in net new jobs. People are losing a full-time job and replacing it with two or more inferior jobs. In any case, I find the decline in the unemployment rate a bit peculiar, given that every day there are a plethora of companies reporting hiring freezes and layoffs. To this point, the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index recorded its second weakest reading since 2013. Small business optimism declined 2.1 points in December to 89.8, marking the 12th consecutive month below the 49-year average of 98. Since small business accounts for 64% of all new jobs created, this according to the SBA, it would be hard to see how the U.S. economy could have a very healthy labor market when nearly two-thirds of it is dysfunctional. But as I pointed out in recent podcasts, you cannot fire what you did not hire. There just isn't the excess labor to shed heading into this deep recession. Hence, the labor market economists that haunt the Fed will be reluctant to supply Wall Street with the required easy money policies to engender the usual reflex economic rebound because they focus so much of their attention on the unemployment rate. But in sharp contrast from the BS from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, let's take a deep look, a deep dive into the ISM Services Index for December. The employment index dropped into contraction territory from expansion in November, from 51.5 to 49.8. So, the largest part of the U.S. economy is cutting jobs, according to this ISM survey, not hiring hundreds of thousands of new people. And this survey also shows that the overall services sector is in contraction as well, plunging to 49.6 from 56.5. This was the first contraction in the headline services sector in the past 30 months. What is most interesting in this report is that the floor fell out of the new orders component, cascading from growth in November at 56 to contraction at 45.2. That is a 10.8 percentage point plunge in new orders. Any reading below 50 means the index is contracting. By the way, the ISM Manufacturing Index, along with the Services Index in December, also contracted to 48.4, with the new orders component falling to 45.2 from 47.2. Meaning both sectors of the economy are now shrinking at a faster rate. But again, for those who feel a Fed pivot is right around the corner, the ISM Prices Paid Index came in at 67.6 in December versus 70 in November. Now, while that means prices are rising at a slower pace, they are still rising quite rapidly. Remember, a reading of 50 would indicate stable prices. So 67.6 is still much too fast for the Fed to stop hiking rates, much less start cutting rates. But Wall Street lemmings are infatuated with weak data, and so they really became overly ebullient when the idea came across the tape that the largest part of the economy is now shrinking. The major averages soared over 2% on the news that the economy was now blatantly falling apart. However, this is exactly the Pavlovian behavior that Jerome Powell is seeking to break. Our central bank's reflex move to infuse the economy with a massive amount of new money at the first whiff of every recession is what caused the market to lose faith in the dollar's purchasing power in the first place, not against other currencies. I'm long the dollar, we're long the dollar, doing great. What caused the dollar to lose purchasing power, meaning inflation, when the market loses faith in a currency's purchasing power. That's what happened. And it's going to happen again. But that playbook worked well since the crash of 1987 of just printing money. It worked from 87 all the way to the COVID pandemic in 2020. This is because inflation had been dead and buried thanks to the work done by Paul Volcker and the credibility he regained on behalf of our central bank. However, unfortunately, after decades of abusive fiscal and monetary largesse, that faith in the central bank has been lost. Hence, Wall Street continues to underestimate Powell's determination to disabuse the market of its mistaken belief that the Fed will ride to the rescue of every economic and stock market pothole. Now, please understand, I'm not saying the Fed will never pivot back to QE and ZERP, zero interest rate policies. They will indeed. However, the decision will come much later and with much more trepidation than what Wall Street is expecting. It will probably come after one of the following conditions occurs. The credit markets freeze. Shadow banks begin to file for bankruptcy. The major averages drop by 45 to 50% from their peak. Core PCE inflation falls to 2%, or two back-to-back negative non-farm payroll reports. Until then, is the notion of a perpetual Fed put that Powell needs to end. Therefore, there should be a 5% Fed funds rate by March, and then the FOMC will seek to hold it there for as long as possible. Some members have stated it will remain there well into 2024. That means rates will have been raised by 500 basis points in 1 year after being below 1% for 10 of the last 14 years. Such a situation has never happened before, nothing even close. These lagged monetary effects, along with massive QT, will hit the economy hard this year. The bottom line is this: the economy is now shrinking and the Fed is still hiking rates and reducing money supply. And it will not be easing monetary policy anytime soon, not with CPI at 3x the Fed's target. The reopening of China is providing yet another excuse for a short-term bounce in the market, like we've had the first 7 days of the market being open in 2023. Nevertheless, the joke is on the perma bulls who believe this is now a green light for a new bull market to begin, even though valuations are extraordinarily and historically extremely high and earnings are about to suffer a significant decline. We remain long bond and bond proxies, short high beta and junk bonds, long gold. We even added a drug company this week that has a nice fat dividend and it is in the correct sector for what to own as the economy is contracting. We even have a high dividend yielding foreign equity ETF on our radar to purchase on the next sell-off. We're going to be more active traders this year, as I mentioned. But defense remains paramount. It remains paramount as the economy sinks deeper into recession. Now, you can do one of two things right now. You can get caught up in the FOMO, the fear of missing out syndrome, and get duped into yet another sucker's rally, buy and hold, in a buy and hold fashion. We're going to try to trade these rallies this year. You know, we're doing a lot better this year as far as bonds are concerned, and we're going to do a lot better this year, God willing, with the trading, these bounces. But you can get caught up in the buy and hold syndrome of saying, hey, let's just top tick this bubble right here and go long into another sucker's rally that leads to more lower lows in the stock market like it has every other time since 2022 began. You can try that. Or you can stick to what works. You could stick to measuring and mapping the economic and liquidity cycles. I'll stick to the latter, and so should you.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.